Christian woman together with God in building her children, her home, the church, and the society around her. An opportunity for God to challenge and equip Christian women to be wise builders in the purpose of God for our time is the burden for the year 2006 Christian Ladies Retreat. The retreat, which held at Bethany Resort, Kilometer 21, Yandev Aliede Road, Boko, was on the theme, The Christian Woman, a Wise Builder, between the 5th and 9th of April 2006. For further inquiry or counsel, please contact Living Seed Media, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 044-470-824, 0802-6577-392. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org, or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings us the message.
This morning, I have been asked to bring the message for this official opening, and as I kept praying about it, the Lord brought me a very strange passage, which is very short. It's one of the shortest Bible verses in the scripture. But I have to read it to you, as short as it is. It will help you to remember it, and at the same time, it will assist us in focusing our mind. We're going to take our text from Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Luke 17, the verse 32, and then verse 33. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we come to you with a heart of gratitude because we believe that you are here. We thank you, Lord, that you are the most excellency, and yet you are the most accessible. Lord, we are very grateful to you. We thank you for the privilege of being in this place at this particular time. We thank you because we can see that your heart is opened. We can imagine and perceive that you are bleeding to raise women who will be builders in this generation. Our Father and our God, we ask that as you speak very clearly to us, even at this short moment, your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will bring to us a clear direction on how we ought to order our lives as individuals, as mothers, as wives, as women in government, and as women in society, as women in leadership, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we are praying as we look at Mrs. Lot. Mrs. Lot lost her lot. We are asking, oh God, that her story will not be repeated for us in the name of Jesus Christ. But why did you ask us to remember Mrs. Lot? It's because she has become a signpost. She has become a permanent signpost. We ask, Lord, that all the lessons we could pick from this woman, help us, Lord, to pick it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. Now, when you are reading the Bible and you suddenly come at that verse, remember Lot's wife. There are several issues that will quickly jump in your heart. But ordinarily, all that we know about Mrs. Lot is that she became a pillar of salt. And we might think that that was how her life started. We might think that it was just a one-time mistake that Mrs. Lot made and she became a pillar of salt. We might even imagine maybe God was too harsh to this woman, as if he did not give her a second chance. And I was looking at the mistake that made her a pillar of salt. It was just that she looked back. And I would have loved to put a case for her and say, you see, maybe something was interesting at the back, so she needed to look back and see what is it. But when she became a pillar of salt, and there was no opportunity for her to get to the place of deliverance, and all that she must have labored for in life got wasted, I knew that that matter is a serious one. Now, when you come into the New Testament and you found the Lord Jesus, do you know that it's not, Jesus did not speak about everybody or every Bible character in the Old Testament in his preaching? There are several thousands of people that Jesus did not talk about. But when he decided to single out Mrs. Lot, I thought that there is a lot to learn from Mrs. Lot. And I wish, within the short period that I have, if I could do a biographical sketch of Mrs. Lot, what to remember about Lot's wife, what to be careful about as you go on in your own journey in this present generation. What is it that the Bible will want us to pay close attention to as we look at this particular lady? Now, but while I want to paint a biographical sketch of Mrs. Lot, I wish to remind you, can I tell you something that is very strange? Nobody knows Mrs. Lot's name. Or do you know her name? They told us about Ruth. They told us about the mother of Moses, Jochebed. They told us about Mary. They told us about different women. There was Deborah. There was Jezebel. There was this. Each one of their names were mentioned. But when it comes to this madam, all that we can know about her is what? Mrs. Lot. Lot's wife. On one side, I would have said, yes, her name was lost into Lot. But it looks as if there's something much more that is critical about that woman, which we need to talk about. In my mind, I wouldn't think that the woman is altogether bad. I think there are some good things about her that we may need to talk about. You know why? Can I tell you why? You might think that Lot's wife became what she became because she was always bad. That would be a mistake. What I thought may have happened is that she may have been very, very good, because there are some things I would like to point out about Mrs. Lot. But yet what makes me afraid is that people that are diligent at the beginning of their lives, they may not end well. You see, if somebody was wayward from the beginning to the end, we say, well, we know it. But here was a woman that had entertained angels in her house before. Here was a woman who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah and was able to raise two virgins. You are not understanding. Will you think that that woman didn't do anything? So I first want you to know that while we are talking about Mrs. Lot, don't ever think that she had ever been a terrible woman and that she was such a wayward woman. I don't think so. I only thought that something must have overtaken her life that made her to become what she became. And this is where the message must come from today. That as God is gathering us, those that are spinsters in our midst, those that have married, those that are hoping and longing to get married, those that are in business, those that are in government, those of us that are even widows, but we know that God has a purpose for our lives. What must we learn from Mrs. Lot? And how do we, you know, pattern our lives in such a way that Mrs. Lot's lot will not become our own lot in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? So do you permit me to try to paint a very quick biographical sketch of Mrs. Lot before we start looking at what to remember about her? Can we try to do that? Okay. Now, don't ask me if I know how old she was or when she was particularly born. But I want to say to you that she must have been born few years after Mr. Lot was born. Hallelujah. And I'm suggesting that Lot's wife must have been one of those young girls that were growing around where Abraham had been sojourning. Because you will remember that Lot was a nephew to Abraham. You will remember that Lot lost his father, who is the junior brother of Abraham, when they were still in Haran. And when God was calling Abraham to go out of his country, out of his kindred, to a place that God was going to show him, Lot was one small boy that Abraham adopted to take along in order to take care of him, because Lot's father, who is called Mr. Haran, actually died before their father Terah died. So which means, you know, Lot's father died a young man. And I want to suggest to you that he was the only born son of his father before the man died, because Lot had no junior brother that we know about. And if he had a junior brother, maybe Abraham would have adopted that one as well. But there was nothing like that. So we want to note that Lot grew as, you know, a boy that was born and her mother died, her father died. We don't know about his mother, but that's how he grew. Now, I want you to note that Lot must have been brought up in the hand of Sarah. Sarah, not having a baby of her own, she poured all her motherly care and motherly affection on Lot. So Lot had a very great mother, because all of us, we have been told to look at Sarah. Is that all right? Because Sarah was a great woman. She was a gracious woman. And I like to remind you that Lot must have grown in that great family, where there was a lot and lot of love and care. How do I know? I realized that even though this woman didn't have her own child for many, many, many years, she gave opportunity for young people that were being brought around them to grow, such that in her house alone, in Sarah's house alone, there were not less than 318 persons that were eating from her pot. Are you understanding? And they maintained such a very wonderful camp. There was always prayer. Abraham was always building altars, and he was always bringing everybody for this family altar, and they were praying. Now, I don't know, but I perceive also that Abraham must have been very, very, very careful, just as we knew how careful he was to marry for Isaac. He must have been very careful to make sure that the woman that Lot was going to get married to, because that would have been like his firstborn son, isn't it? Must be someone who is passionate about God. So I want to believe that Mrs. Lot was a young girl that may have been influenced also by the God of Abraham at the beginning. Now, but because the Bible didn't tell us her own parentage, we cannot explain now, but I perceive that she must have been willing to go with the kind of God that Abraham was serving, into which Lot was being trained to come along. Hallelujah. So in terms of religious background, Mrs. Lot had a good religious background. In terms of religious upbringing, you couldn't have something better than that. And then when they got married, what touched me, because I'm just looking at it, was that Abraham was such a generous man that even as young people that were living around him were getting married, he was simply giving them opportunity to just have more compounds, and they are all living with him. They were all staying together with him. You remember Eliezer of Damascus? Eh? That man was everywhere with him. But it was also clear that when Abraham went down to Egypt, when there was famine in the land of Israel, in chapter 12 of Genesis, Lot also went with him. I'm not sure whether Lot was married at that time, so Mrs. Lot may not have come to the picture. But I will have a reason to suggest to you that Lot, when he went down to Egypt with Abraham, he may have got some things as well. Because in Genesis 13, the Bible says, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. So I perceive that if Lot was married that time, they will have mentioned, and Lot with his wife as well. So I think Lot was not married, was still a young man when the Lord took his uncle out of that backsliding in Egypt. Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Verse 5 said, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks, herds, and tents. Now, to me, I'm beginning to see something very quickly, which I want to start highlighting. What did you notice in Genesis chapter 13, verse 5? I noted that why they said Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. The Bible noted in verse 5 that Lot also, which went with Abram had flocks, herds, and tents. The first indication was that Mr. Lot was beginning to carve out his own lot from Abraham. You didn't see that picture. Did you see the picture? If they were all living together and eating from the same pot, and if Lot had been working with Abraham and everything had been going so nicely and so well, I would not be expecting that they would say, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had what? Flocks, had tents, and herds. So somehow, I perceive that Mr. Lot started to have his own private property and private business. And the way the business was running, it shows me something. Can I tell you what it shows? It's like, though Lot will not boldly come and say to his uncle that I don't want to have anything to do with you, but it appears as if they were beginning to have business rivalry. Now, don't ask me how all of this is happening, but I could notice that that's how it was happening. Now, I'm perceiving, because there's now a quietness. And what do I perceive? It looks to me as if within that time that Mr. Lot was trying to be independent, maybe the time he got married to Mrs. Lot. And I don't think that should be strange. I thought that if any of your children wants to get married, what is the first thing you are going to tell that child to do? He must go and get his own house and get something established so that he and his wife could live on that. So I don't think there was anything wrong with Lot beginning to have his own flocks, beginning to have his own herds, and beginning to build his own tents. I perceive that it is at that point that Mrs. Lot, this young lady, came into his life. Now, I wouldn't know who affected who. You are not with me. I will not know who affected who. You know, there are some fervent young ladies, very fervent in the spirit. If they get married to a fire extinguisher as a husband, what happens to their fire? They cool off. And you know, there are some very, very fervent men, very prayerful. If they get married to a woman who is ambitious, whose own concern is about how to get more cattle and more clothes, quietly, she may have pushed her husband away from the virtues that he had learned, and she may have influenced him to seek more separation from this uncle that will not allow our business to grow very well. So, but since I don't know who is affecting who now, I better just keep quiet about that. But I'm perceiving that in their marriage, something must have happened. Hallelujah. Now, so whichever side, I better put it like this. Are you the one that before you got married, there was fire in your heart? There was a great desire to be what God wants you to be. But ever since you got married, something is beginning to finish with you. Your prayer life is going down. It's like the only thing you give yourself to now is cooking and doing everything, and there is no space again for personal development of your heart. That could be the situation of Mrs. Lot. But do you know that Such quiet backsliding in the heart of a wife may never show until the day of calamity. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? It appears to me as if either it was Mr. Lot that cooled down Mrs. Lot, or it was Mrs. Lot that poured ice cold water on top of this man. I don't know, but I can see that since they got married, the first place where I saw a crack in their relationship is that they were going to break away from the source of their spirituality. You are not with me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But you know, I said, in order not to be too harsh on Mrs. Lot, because you see, you don't really know who influenced who. But because it was Mrs. Lot that lost her lot, it is possible that maybe she was over-influenced and she became a victim. Or maybe Lot managed to escape from her influence. That's why he escaped finally. I wouldn't know what is what. But I think I am noting some few issues here, indications. So I noted that as soon as their marriage began, the desire for independence took them away from the place of spiritual nourishment. It took them away from the place of spiritual oversight. It immediately cut them away from their spiritual discipleship. Because in my mind, I was looking at how could Lot follow a great man of God like Abraham, and he did not catch the anointing of Abraham. Do you wonder about that? If there is anybody that should resemble Abraham in faith, in obedience, in loving God, who should be that person? It should be Lot. Because here was Lot. Maybe it was just 2 years when Abraham began to take him to himself, and they began to walk together and began to go to all the places that God was sending Abraham. And I am sure that Lot must have been one of those young people that was helping to gather the wood to build the altar. I am sure that Lot must have been part of those who carried the knife when Abraham was about to slaughter all the animals that he used as burnt offerings all through his spiritual journey. But the first indication of backsliding that I'm noting in the life of Lot and his wife, and now I said, I don't know who has caused the problem, whether it's the madam or the man, and it could be 50-50. So the Bible said, the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the headmen of Abraham's cattle and the headmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. What was their problem? Then Abraham, the senior man, a man of prayer, one day he said to Lot, Lot, let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and you, and between my headmen and your headmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. I was just thinking in my mind, what should Lot have said when his uncle was suggesting this. I thought he would have just fallen on his face and said, "Daddy, there's nothing like that. Everything that I have, it was you who gave me. How could my boys be quarreling with your workers and I will be keeping quiet? How can you be giving me the first choice? Ah, I will never do that." Now that he was married, I thought that that discussion would have happened also in their bedroom. Eh? I imagine that there was a discussion between Lot and Mrs. Lot. Every time there was quarrel between their headsmen and the other headsmen, they are coming and say, "Yes, we will not agree. I imagine that either Mrs. Lot was passive and she did not say something that could have stopped those boys. Either she was not interested in mending the net between her husband and his uncle. It is possible that Mrs. Lot is saying, "Well, now you are married. I didn't marry your family. And I don't know how long you are going to be boy to anybody. How many years are you going to follow all these people?" And every time they say, "Hey, God has spoken to them. Let's carry our tent and we are going somewhere." I mean, I'm not ready for this carrying tent up and down. I want to settle down. They say, God said. I don't know how God then talk to them. But me, I want to settle down. I want to live a life that is succulent. Lot, now you are married. I didn't marry the family. And I didn't marry your uncle. I don't want to be in a place when I'm cooking my soup. Somebody is looking. One senior woman is looking. I say, "Waiting you to cook there." I don't want that. I don't know what Mama Sarah has done, that all this year she no get any child. I don't want any witch to come and trouble my own babies. There must be a fueling inside that when Lot was given a chance, I say, "Well, the quarrel is too much. The way things are happening all the time, we are brethren." When a senior uncle is calling you brother, you know there is a problem there. But I'm surprised that the Bible said in verse 10, I'm still in Genesis 13, he said, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." Please note this. I'm just dealing with little issues so that we can get to the matter. So when Mrs. Lot started packing with her husband, you will notice that nobody has heard her voice. Have you noted that you have not heard her voice? Or have you heard her voice? Eh? No. No. Nobody has heard her speak. And until chapter 19, when she looked back, nobody has heard her speak. Or if you have read your Bible and you heard what Mrs. Lot said, can you read it and let me hear? This is a woman that you won't hear her speak. But she's inside. It appears to me as if why we didn't even know anything about her name is that she actually was inside doing all that she did. She did it where? Inside. And if what she did inside was great and good, the Bible would have also pointed her to us. But he only said, remember Lot's wife. And the next Bible verse says, whosoever shall save his life will lose it. Could that point to something about Mrs. Lot right from this beginning? Eh? A desire to do what? To acquire. A desire to acquire. To acquire things. To acquire properties. A desire for exclusiveness that unfortunately took her away from the place of spiritual help. A desire for independence that could be the quiet fuel inside of her that will not allow her to build a home in a way that we will be able to look at it. Because, you know, at the end of the story, you will see the many things that has happened to this woman. My prayer is that God will begin to speak deeply to our own hearts, because I want to inform you that whatever Lot became, are you hearing me? Mrs. Lot contributed. Whatever Abraham became, who do you think make Abraham great? It was Sarah. There's no way I could overstudy Sarah. She's such a challenge to my heart. Hallelujah. You know why? That was a woman that was content with whatever she got. There was a woman that every time her husband would say, the Lord said we should move from our kindred to a place he will show us. And the madam would say, wherever God leads you, I will go with you. Are you with me? There was a woman that when they got to Egypt, like we were hearing yesterday night, her husband said this. She said, well, you are my Lord. I know this thing you are saying is dangerous, but I will do it. That was a woman that after several years, and there was no baby, she said, well, maybe God has decided that me and no go have baby. Maybe you better take this girl. And I was wondering, what could have made Sarah to do that? Like, well, you have been saying God has promised you that you are going to be a father of many nations. And here was I now. Completely hopeless. At 75. And you are now 85. You better take this girl. Don't let me delay you. You see, when she took that kind of decision, I was seeing a woman that is saying, well, it's not about my success. It's about the purpose of God. I thought that the husband at that time would be reasonable enough to say, you have suffered with me all these years. Your barrenness is my barrenness. I'm not going anywhere without you. But you see, When Abraham went and slept with that girl, my own mind is different from the way you think. I say, how did he propose? How did grandfather? How did he speak to a girl of 18? I imagine when he must have called Agar, say, Agar! And the girl said, Daddy is calling me in a different way today. So she came, she said, yes, sir. He said, no, don't serve me, I'm a young man. Because how else would their discussion have arrived at coming to sleep in the bed? Don't you know that something changed in the language? Don't you know that Abraham's hand must have been straying? Don't you imagine when he said, Hagar, bring me water there? Instead of taking water, he must have put his hand on her hand and said, Kai, you're a good girl. When you see a big man going to sleep with small girls, you need to listen to how they are behaving. That's when I say, yes, you know, am I not young? When all those sugar daddies carry big cars to go and take girls from the campus, do you know that they don't talk as though old? So when I saw Abraham going after 10 years of obeying God to sleep with Agar, I was not going to blame Sister Sarah. I was raising a question. I said, what is the matter with the man of God? But when you look at Mrs. Lot, Mrs. Lot was not speaking loudly, but she's speaking strongly. She had great influence that even Lot cannot overcome. So when we are looking at a wise woman building a house, I want to note that Mrs. Lot must have started with some certain character trait that was not dangerous at the beginning. It was imperceptible deviation of character that landed her into the trouble she finally landed into. And I must speak to young sisters here. Some of you are spinsters, you are not married. And what we are saying, you say, well, it doesn't concern me. But don't you know that some traits of character in your heart already that is beginning to show may be the trouble that will drown your marriage in some years to come? I could imagine that if Lot stood up and said, let's go. And if Mrs. Lot said, to where? To where? To a strange country? You want to take me away from Mama Sarah, who had been a mother to us? May I not go follow you yet? Do you know that the matter will change? I want to suggest to you that one of the things I noted with Mrs. Lot, she is not keen about maintaining family relationship. How do I know? Who do you think was their relative in Sodom and Gomorrah? Eh? I'm not hearing you. Whom do you think they knew in Sodom and Gomorrah? that will be their friend. All that Lot had acquired, where did he get it from? He got it from Abraham. Whether they say he had flocks, he had cattle, he had herds, he had tents, all of these were got from his uncle. It all came from his uncle's grace that God was blessing him with. Are you a young girl, young sister? As soon as you are getting engaged, your first strategy is how to cut away the young man from all those who have had spiritual influence on his life. Do you call him to the secret and say, well, I'm not saying you should not go and meet your father in the Lord, but it's your father in the Lord. He doesn't enter marriage. Small time, your uncle is coming late for spiritual meetings. And when they ask him, bro, why are you coming late? He dare not say it was you. Because it will be another trouble at home. Then, he went and reported me. It's all right. Man of God. I perceive that Mrs. Lot began to miss her lot when she chose to pitch her tent with wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah. I will show you a few more things before I go away from this. Are you with me? You know why we are doing this? We are just trying to dig a biography of a woman that God said you should remember. Hallelujah. So when the Bible said Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, do you know what contradiction came to my mind immediately? If they say, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw the mountains, that would have been correct. You are not with me. Because when you lift up your eyes, you are either looking up. But they say he lifted up his eyes, but he saw the plains. You are not with me again. So what kind of lifting up high is this? It means not a lifting up of the physical eye. It must be a lifting up of what? Of the heart. It was arrogance. It was ambition. It was a desire to be great that was pushing my friend, Mr. Lot. So Lot lifted up his eyes. He saw all the plain of Jordan, and that it was well watered everywhere. So when they say he saw that it was well watered, he did not understand that God has put red X on Sodom and Gomorrah, that in a short while it will be destroyed. He didn't see that. He only saw the well-watered garden. And where was Mrs. Lot? Where was Mrs. Lot? Inside. Inside that decision, there was a push. Let's go. Let's go. Now that he said you should go, you better go. Let's go. And I'm happy that he gave you the first choice. Let's choose all the good ones so that whatever he wants to be doing with wilderness, make him do. All the well-watered area of Jordan, they went and grabbed. And in a short while, they packed up. Now I want you to listen to me. This is Mrs. Lot that was sluggish to pack out of Sodom and Gomorrah at the instruction of an angel. But they were very quick to do what? To pack out of the house of Abraham for Sodom. the sluggishness she exhibited in chapter 19, it was not a sluggishness of anything else, but a sluggishness of where? Of the heart. She is not interested going that place. Because I thought that maybe she's generally slow in her life. No, Mrs. Lot was not a slow woman at all. And to exist in Sodom and Gomorrah and survive. Eh? How many of you have come from Lagos, please? Let me see your hand up from Lagos. Can any careless fellows exist in Lagos and succeed? Eh? If you are driving in Lagos, how do you drive in order to survive in Lagos? One day they were carrying me in a car in Lagos. I was doing like this. I would see women like this. They would just put their head. I said, this is a woman now. Say, you don't know Lagos women. Lagos had made them tough. You've got to be tough to live in a tough city. So I perceive that for Mrs. Lot to dwell in Sodom, she was not sluggish. She knew how to play her card. Praise the Lord. Right. So Mrs. Lot and her husband, they moved. Let me ask you, what were they searching for that made them to move? I'm not hearing you. They were looking for green pasture. They were looking for well-watered garden. They were looking for where it is happening. Mrs. Lot cannot be contented with dwelling in tents under the canopy of the Almighty God. She needs where it is happening. She was pressing for it. Let's go. If your uncle is proving difficult, let's go. And they moved. Now the first indication came. When you get down, the Bible said at the end of that chapter 13, in verse 12, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. She loved cities. Eh? And pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let me ask a question. How will they survive in Sodom and Gomorrah? Who will be their friends? Who will their daughters marry? My friend, I'm beginning to talk to you small now. If what is driving you in life, if the overriding push for you is succulence, and it doesn't occur to you that even if you could keep yourself in a very terrible environment like Sodom, what do you do about your daughters? Wise women that build their homes, they do not only consider their own personal convenience, they think of what is conducive for their young teenagers. Some of you, the kind of job that you have collected, that has occupied you, of course, sincerely speaking, is bringing much money. But you are going to lose your daughters. You are going to lose your sons. You are likely to lose even your husband. But ask yourself, what are you going to do? with plenty turkey in the fridge, but with a daughter that has caught HIV. What are you doing with a career that is overriding your primary duty of being a mother? Why, Brother Lot and Mrs. Lot went to Sodom? Maybe they could keep themselves because of the strong influence that Abraham has had on them. But what of their daughters? Can I quickly ask you, the first two daughters of Lot, whom did they marry? Sodomites. Where did they meet the Sodomites? I'm not asking you. Where did they meet the Sodomites? In Sodom. Do you know that where you live is likely to be where your daughters will find their men? If you don't want to have a Sodomite in-law, you don't need to live in Sodom. Your sons unto Philistines like Delilah, you need to be careful where you locate. The omission of Mrs. Lot was not apparent at the beginning. I was commending her that her two daughters were virgins. Only as I was about to rejoice, I said, praise God for these girls that were virgins. Before I will shout hallelujah, I realized that even though they were virgins in Sodom, because they were kept under lock and key. Are you hearing me? And do you know the night that those terrible men came, they wanted to sleep with the angels. Lot was ready to offer them and say, take my two daughters, do anything you like with them. Suddenly, when they got to the place and the guests looked at one another and said, there is no man here. There is no man here. Cecilia told Janet and said, waiting we go do. Now this is how we go look at ourselves. There's no man here. And Baba is still there, shiko shiko. Make we do something. Now I'm asking, how did it occur to daughters that their father could be a candidate for sexual immorality? Where did they get it? They learned it in Sodom. They watched it on the television of Sodom. They read it in the magazine of Sodom. They could have been Sodomites, except for the lock and key. External conformity, but internal deformity. And they knew that it was not nice. It was not correct. They knew that it won't happen if their father was reasonable. So what did they decide? Say, let's get him drunk. Let's get him intoxicated. In the name of serving him food, they had put some dosage of ogogoro inside his water. And as the man drank, he lost his sense. The first girl went that same evening. How did Lot forget that his wife had become a pillar of fire? I mean of salt. That he was sleeping with his daughter. He has dwelt long enough in Sodom. Let me remind you. Will you think that actually where they were is so far away that they couldn't return to their uncle in the land of Canaan with Abraham? Do you think so? Because I remember that the day that God was overturning Sodom, Abraham went and stood where he stood before the Lord, and he was seeing Sodom. If it was a distance of 300 kilometers, will he see? I suggest to you that the distance was no more than 10 kilometers. They could have come back. To claim that there was no man anywhere is not true. It was Sodom inside of them that is manifesting. Mrs. Lot was very busy. Busy with goods. Busy with tents. Busy with herds. Busy with flock. Seeking succulents. But she had overlooked something that she would be remembered for. The Bible said, those two girls, they slept with their father. And I was trying to dramatize how it happened. When the first girl went in, the other girl was waiting. How did it go? Baba is there. What? You mean that did it? We'll do for you tomorrow. The following day, they made the same arrangement. The man slept again with his junior daughter. So one man impregnated his two daughters within the same month. Did you see Sodom in action? Did you see where a man who had a great background, a great beginning, a great anointing to be inherited, you see where he was ending his life now? Do you think that's how Lot should have ended his story? You are not answering me. It was very touching, and I now want to show you what is touching about it. Can you follow me a bit? Can we try? Just checking little biographies. Trusting that God will help us. As he says, remember Lot's wife. Now, in chapter 14, all of you, Genesis 14, you can take note of this. The Bible said, and I wouldn't have time to read all that the Bible was saying about Sodom, where they now went. There was a problem. Because for 12 years, the people of Sodom served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year, they rebelled. So in the 14th year, that king came to come and fight. And so, the story went on and went on. So in verse 11 of chapter 14, they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Did you see what was happening to Mr. Lot now? And Mrs. Lot. For all the years they dwelt under the shadow and the canopy of the Almighty God, under Abraham, was there any armed robber? Was there any battle? Mm-mm. It was not too long once they settled in a strange land that they carried them captive. The Bible said they took Lot, they took all his goods, they took everything he had and departed. He was now a slave with his wife. All the things that they thought they were going to get in Sodom, what is happening now? Thieves, armed robbers, they have come to carry it away. I thought that would be a signal to Lord that we're in the wrong place. But somehow, it was Abraham that mobilized an army from his own house to go and fight until he could rescue Lot and bring back Lot and his children and his wife. But my first surprise, which I have not stopped being surprised about, is that when that great deliverance was wrought for Lot, whom do you think should have done thanksgiving service? Who should have paid tithe? But we did not hear anything from Lot. Lot did not follow his uncle and say, "Thank you very much, sir. I don't know that the people I'm living with are so wicked. This is not a place to settle. Even if you just give me a small corner in the family compound, it's better to live where I can have peace than this incessant trouble." He went back to Sodom. Whereas Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, Lot did not build any altar to commemorate his deliverance. He continued living as though it were a normal thing. Praise the Lord. Lot continued to live like that with his wife. His four daughters, they were all together. By the time chapter 18 came and God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God felt it was necessary to tell Abraham before he would do it, because Abraham had become his friend and Sarah, his wife, had remained faithful. Hallelujah. But Mrs. Lot, inside Mr. Lot, they had continued living in Sodom on what I call a residual revelation of God. Because the Bible said, according to the New Testament, that Saul's righteous soul was being what? Was being vexed every day. I don't know how you can understand that. Here is a man that knew enough that what is happening in Sodom is not correct, but he can do nothing about it. He did nothing about it. He only struggled to maintain the little thing that he knew. Unfortunately, on that glorious day that would have been a glorious day of deliverance, hallelujah, angels came and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And as Lot see them, he rose up to meet them and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. That's chapter 19 now. And he invited them to his house. Where did he learn that hospitality place? He learned it from Abraham. "I pray you, come to my house, tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "No, but we will abide in the street all night." The Bible says he pressed on them very greatly until they agreed to turn into his house. He made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. I want to suggest to you that it was Mrs. Lot that did that job. Am I correct? You know why? All along, Mrs. Lot had been inside. Even here now, you know that we did not hear anything about Mrs. Lot. They only said he made them a feast. I want to believe that Mrs. Lot cooked. So that night, they called Lot. They said, "What do you have in this city? What do you have in this city? Go and bring it. Because we are going to destroy this place." Do you know what he did? They said, "Do you have anybody here?" In verse 12, "You have son-in-law? You have sons? You have daughters? Whatsoever you have in the city, bring them out of this place. We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to do what? To destroy it." Lot went out that night. And he spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." How did this seem to his son-in-laws? Please read for me verse 14. I'm reading 19:14. How did this seem to his sons-in-law? He seemed as a man who is joking. He seemed as one that mocked. And I say, Do you know what those boys were saying? They were saying, "Baba, is this the time to start talking? You know, there's a way you have lived your life with people that the day you are saying something seriously, they will not take you serious. Am I right?" What was Mr. Lot doing when his two daughters got married first to those boys? Do you remember that Abraham was particularly insisting that my son will not marry among these Canaanites? Not for brother Lot. He had given out his daughters to these Sodomites. So the day of deliverance came, nobody followed him. Nobody followed him. When the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here." Now I noted that they said, "which are here." There are other daughters which are not here. Where are they? They are in the city. "Let thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city." Why he lingered? Let me ask you, what made him to linger, please? I'm not hearing you. Many answers. Many, many things could have made him to linger. But I'm thinking that one of the things that made him linger was Mrs. Lot. You are not answering me again. What will a man pack that he will see fire and he will be lingering? Do you know that the only person that will linger will be that woman whose heart have always been since the beginning around properties, around their placements, around this one, around that one. Do you remember that they said, take your wife and move? And the Bible said, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind you, neither stay you in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Lot said unto them, oh, not so, Lord. Behold, now your servant has found grace in your sight, and thou hast magnified your mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? My soul shall live. And they said to him, see, I have accepted you concerning this thing also. I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape there, for I cannot do anything till you become there. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen up upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. Now look at the great but. Have you seen the great but? Verse 26. What did they say? But his wife did what? Looked back from behind him. Remember Lot's wife. Now, I must begin to draw the issues and ask you to join me in prayer.